Well, good morning. Let me ask you to grab your copy of God's Word and open with me to Philippians chapter 4, if you would. Philippians chapter 4, while you are turning to Philippians 4, I want to say the same thing that Pastor Matt said earlier. We're glad you're here with us this morning. And for those who are guests, either here in the room or online as well, I would love to meet you. We also want to let you know you can connect with us online, mountaincreekbc.org/connect. Let us know you're here. If you've got any questions about our church, we'd love to answer those and get to know you. But again, thanks for being here with us today. We have been going through this letter to the church at Philippi, this book of Philippians, all year long, basically, and we're kind of winding down now. We are in the middle right now of a three-week mini-series that we're looking at to help close out this letter. And what we're seeing right now is how the gospel applies to really all areas of life. Now, last week we saw this call to gospel unity and how our oneness in Christ is to be worked out here, specifically in the local church. Next week we're going to look at the contentment that's produced in us in the gospel and how that should work out in generosity through us. But today we want to see this, that your mind matters. Your mind matters. So what you put in your mind, in large part, determines the words that comes out of your mouth. So whether your words are life-giving or life-taking, whether they are gentle words or harsh words, whether they're words of peace and hope or words of conflict and worry, a lot of this depends on what we're putting into our mind. But also, in large part, what we put into our mind determines the work of our hands. So are you working for the upbuilding of others, or are you idle? Are you working for the good of others and the glory of God, or are you working for yourself? Now, what you put in your mind, in large part, determines how you live. So we know that the mind isn't the only thing that matters, but here today in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, we see that your mind does matter, and these verses help us understand what it means to love the Lord our God with all of our mind, with all our mind. And so our question today, to use the words that we've read in Philippians over this year, our question today is, how should the truth that we are saints in Christ Jesus, that we are those who would say that to live is Christ, that we are committed to advance the gospel, that we are following Paul and laying everything else aside and counting everything else as rubbish in order that we may gain Christ, the truth that we're citizens of heaven who are trusting that on the return of our Lord we'll finally be transformed fully to be like Him, how should all of that impact our minds? How should that impact the way that we think? Everything that we've read in Philippians, how should that impact the way that we think and the things that we think about? And then what does that kind of thinking produce in us? So in just a minute, we're going to stand together and we're going to read this. We're going to read God's Word. We're going to stand and honor God's Word as we hear it, as we read this and hear God speak to us. But before we read it, let me ask you also to pay attention. To pay attention to what this passage says about our mind, but specifically, pay attention to what this passage tells us to do. So this passage that we're about to read is very heavy on imperatives. So there are six things here that we're commanded to do, six imperatives in this passage. Notice those as we read, but also notice the prominence of two very important promises in verse 7, at the end of verse 9, these two promises that you'll see that are really one promise for us. This what comes to us as we carry out what is expected of us. So as we carry out these commands that we see in this passage, God is showing us that these are the means of obtaining. Right? As we live out these commands, this is the way that we receive. This is how we get the thing that is promised to us. So let's stand, if you would, in honor of the reading of God's Word. And we're going to read Philippians chapter 4 from verse 4 down through verse 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Would you bow? Let's pray together. Father, we stand in honor of your word, and we're grateful for the gift of your word. But Lord, just like those who we read about a couple of years ago in Nehemiah stood to hear your word proclaimed, we also with them stand to confess our sin, where we fall short in keeping these things that you've told us to do. Lord, we confess where we fail here, we confess where we sin here, and even at times blatantly doing the opposite of these things. So, Lord, we trust in your forgiveness in Christ. And because of that, because of the Spirit whom you've given us, God, because of the promises that we see in your word, Lord, lead us to be those who would seek to obey. And God, thank you for this gift of peace that you promise us in Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. So here's what we want to do this morning in our time together. We want to think about this thing that has been promised to us, the peace of God. So what is that? We want to think about the peace of God. And then we want to consider, how do we get it? How do we get this peace? And the answer to that question deals with our mind, what we focus on, and what we think about. And then finally, I want to take just a brief moment to encourage us that this is possible. All of these things, this is possible for us who are in Christ Jesus. So the peace of God, the peace of God. I like the way that the theologian Alec Motyer describes what this is not. He said that the way that we normally think about peace is like what he calls a sort of spiritual marshmallow, something that's full of softness and sweetness, but without much actual substance. So when I say the peace, or when we read the peace that passes all understanding, what you may be tempted to hear is this touchy-feely peace that gives a warm, fuzzy feeling, but has no real weight to it. No real benefit to it. It's more an absence of stress than anything else. It's a good feeling, like a warm bath or like an ice cold glass of lemonade on a hot day. It may be a good feeling, but it doesn't really do anything for us. But that's not biblical peace. It's not what we're talking about here when we speak of peace. No, peace in Scripture is a much richer word. It's a lot more like a good steak than a soft marshmallow. It's a word that's thick with meaning and substance. It's filling. It's strengthening. It's meaty. It is some of what we mean when we say peace of mind. That's a phrase we use, peace of mind. So it is that, but when we hear peace of mind, at least for me, I think about commercials that deal with maybe healthcare or mortgage companies, and they'll talk about peace of mind. We're talking about something far more significant than that. The peace of God. This is the peace that comes in salvation. It's the peace that we receive, peace with God, that comes in salvation. So Ephesians chapter 2 says that Christ is our peace, that Christ himself is our peace, and that he came and preached peace to those who are far. And so we who are far away, we who are at enmity with God because of our sin, in Christ, we heard this word of peace, this news of peace, that peace has been made with God. It's available to us through Christ. It was accomplished on the cross, where our enmity with God was ended when Christ bore the penalty for our sins. That we have this peace with God in our salvation. The peace of God is the peace also that comes with knowing, the peace that comes with knowing that God who saved us is powerful and victorious. He's powerful and victorious. So it's not just that we've been given peace with God. It's that God also, he is the one who has all authority and all power, and he is creating full peace in his creation. Just like Pastor Matt read earlier, He's creating full peace in his creation. So Romans 16 also calls him the God of peace. We read that phrase in Philippians 4. Romans 16 says, he's the God of peace who will soon crush Satan underneath our feet. He'll soon crush Satan underneath our feet. So that means that you can have peace even in conflict, even in hard times, even when trials are coming, because we know that the cause of our conflict will be ultimately defeated, and that will happen soon. That will happen soon. The peace of God, it comes in salvation. It comes knowing that God is powerful and God is victorious, and also the peace of God, it's a relational peace that results in peace with others. This is a lot of what we saw last week when we talked about unity. This peace we have with God, it should result in peace with others as well, others who are in Christ as well, even others who are culture, who say are very different from us. So in Ephesians 2, we read again that he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. So it's a relational word. Vertically, we have peace with God. Horizontally, that produces peace with others. It does include what we mean when we say peace of mind, but it's rooted deeply in a cessation of hostility against God, where we're no longer enemies, but we've been brought into the family of God under the care of the one who's all powerful, who is able to bring everything under his control, who's going to bring victory, the one who unites us to him and unites us to others who are in him. It's peace. It's the peace that we have when we know the God of peace. It's the peace of God that comes from the God of peace. That's what we see in Philippians 4. The peace of God that comes from the God of peace. And that's what we all want. It's what all of us want. And Philippians 4 gives us this as a divine promise that is accessible to us. A blessing from God for God's people. Is this the peace that you know? Would you describe your life right now as being a life of peace? Do you know this peace in your life? Are you experiencing this fullness, this inner peace, this freedom from turmoil and strife, this assurance of divinely given victory over all things, even what's causing you trouble right now, that even in that you have this peace? See, God promises you twice in this passage that you can know this peace, the peace of God that comes from the God of peace. And he shows us here that the way we receive this peace in large part depends on what we're doing with our minds. It depends on what we're doing with our minds. So if you're not experiencing that peace, I would ask you to consider four diagnostic questions. Four questions if you're not experiencing this peace. Number one, are you reflecting on the nearness of Christ? Are you reflecting on the nearness of Christ? Look down with me at verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. And that final phrase, the Lord is at hand, both connects with what precedes this. It logically connects with what precedes that phrase and also what follows. So we're going to talk about it again in just a minute. But here and for now, the reason that we can rejoice in the Lord always, and the wording there is a command. It's a command to rejoice and keep on rejoicing. And then Paul underscores that by adding the word always. So no matter what's going on, no matter your circumstances, we're called to keep on rejoicing, just like we saw in Philippians 3:1. Rejoice in the Lord. The reason we can rejoice in the Lord always is because the Lord is near. So we can rejoice no matter what our circumstances are, because we know the one who brings peace. We know the one who brings victory over all things, one who will crush Satan underneath our feet. We can rejoice. And then he says, let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is near. Reasonableness. Reasonableness translates a word that is used to describe Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, where we read of the gentleness of Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, the same word is used here to give instruction to an elder, a pastor, that a pastor should be gentle. The same word is used in Galatians chapter 5 in the fruit of the Spirit, which we're going to study later this summer. And we read there that a fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. So that's what this word signifies. Not reasonableness in the sense of just logic so much, but gentleness. The New American Standard translates this as a gentle spirit. Paul says, let your gentle spirit be made known to all. Let your gentle spirit. He says to believer and unbeliever alike, they should see you as a gentle, reasonable person. So to a church who was experiencing opposition, he said that at the end of chapter 1, the same kind of opposition that Paul was facing, to a church that is experiencing opposition, he says, to those who oppose you, be known as gentle. Be known as gentle. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that's not easy. It's not easy. It requires this inner peace, this inner fullness, so that I can then respond with gentleness when I'm faced with slander or malice from those who are opposed to us. Well, where does that kind of peace come from that would produce such gentleness? Well, it comes from the Lord. He says, let your gentle spirit be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. So are you reflecting on the nearness of God? The nearness of God. When we say that God is at hand, yes, we mean that His return is imminent. So over these last several weeks, 12 weeks or so, I've been asked and I've seen people talk about, well, maybe all of this means that the return of the Lord is very near. And people ask me, what do you think about this? Does this mean the return of the Lord? Are these signs that the Lord is coming soon? And I would say, yes, the Lord is coming soon in the same way that the Apostle Paul said, the Lord is coming soon. See, we've lived in the last days ever since the New Testament. The Apostle Paul lived in the last days. We live in the last days. Does all of this going on right now mean He's coming like very, very soon? Maybe, but we don't know. But we're to always live as if He could return. We're to always be ready. His return is imminent. We should be ready for His return. He's near. It means that. But it is also pointing to His nearness even right now. So God is near, we read in the Psalms. He's near His people. We read that He'll never leave you nor forsake you because He's with you. Jesus has all authority and He's always with us. He's near. So how can we have this inner peace that will result in us being gentle outwardly? Let's reflect on the nearness of God. One has all power, all authority is always with us. The nearness of God, knowing that the Lord is near, the nearness of God brings the peace of God. This peace is reflected through the people of God. Number two, I would ask you, if you don't have peace, I would ask you, number two, are you praying about everything? Are you praying about everything? And here what we see is that the peace of God comes through praying to God. The peace of God comes through praying to God. So the Lord is at hand, Paul says, and the implication is pray. That's where he goes right after that. Psalm 145 verse 18 says, the Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. So God is near. His nearness is promised to those who call on Him in prayer. The nearness of God through prayer produces peace. The peace of God comes through praying to God. In these verses here in Philippians 4, here, Paul instructs the church to stop being anxious about anything and instead to pray about everything. You see that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. The sense is stop being anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So stop being anxious about anything and instead start praying about everything. So the way to be free from worry is to pray to the God of peace. The way to be free from worry is to pray to the God of peace. All types of prayer, he mentions here, requests, thanksgivings, prayer for yourself, prayer for others. Now, all types of prayer about all types of things in our lives. So if you're worrying, if you're anxious, if you don't experience the peace of God, I would say start right here. Are you praying? What is your prayer life? What does your prayer life look like? Paul said, when we pray about everything, when he explicitly gives this promise in verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's not the promise that when you pray about it, everything's going to work out just like you want. All of us know that's not true from experience. It's not the promise that it's going to work out just like you want, but it is the promise that you'll know the peace that comes with leaving everything in the hands of the one who is able, the one who is powerful, the one who proved his love for you when he sent his son for you. This peace, this assurance, this rest, it will guard you like a military watching over and protecting a city from attack. It will guard you in Christ Jesus. So the significance here is not that prayer, it's not that in prayer we're just clearing our mind and we're getting some kind of psychological release because we're just getting everything off our chest and we're just verbalizing our concerns. That's not the significance here. No, the significance is that freedom from anxiety beyond what can be comprehended by the world, that comes from God through the means of prayer. So are you praying about everything? Number three, I would ask you, if you don't know peace, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? So look with me at verse 8. Look down at verse 8. Verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, and then in this command, think about these things. Verse 8, Paul shows us that the peace of God comes through fixing our thoughts on the things that honor God, on the ways of God. So earlier we dealt with the mind on the periphery in terms of what we're focusing on and focusing on God's nearness and in prayer. But here, Paul brings our minds right to the center, what we're thinking about. And he doesn't focus on the negative like we often focus on, so don't think about this or don't think about that. But instead, he focuses on the positive and what we should think about. So that's the command here. Think. Now ours should be an intellectual faith. We should be engaging with our mind. We should be thinking and loving the Lord our God with all of our mind to think and keep on thinking, to dwell on these things that are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable and of excellence and worthy of praise, to keep thinking about these things. So very often for me, I have to take extended breaks or significantly limit my own access to Facebook, because I find that it is often the opposite of all of these things in Philippians 4:8. It doesn't help me to set my mind on these things, and so I have to pull back, and one of these days I might just pull back altogether forever. But for me, what I experience here, the funniest thing happens when I take my mind off of that. This often garbage, when I take my mind off of that, and instead I read a good book, or I spend time with my family, or spend time in God's creation, or I exercise, all of those things which fall under Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, what happens is I find that my peace increases and my stress decreases. Right? When I just carry this out and follow through what God's told us here. Now, getting off Facebook or something like that, I'm not saying that's what you need to do, but it might be something you should do. The command is to stop focusing on the things that distract us from Christ or worse, or are opposed to these virtues that Christ values, and instead to start thinking about Christ. Start thinking about these virtues that point us to Him. To read good books would be an application of Philippians 4:8. To reflect deeply on these truths, to love God with all your mind, to engage your mind in your faith. So if you're not experiencing the peace of God, I would ask you, what are you thinking about? What are you setting before your eyes? What are you taking in? And finally, number four, this question, are you putting into practice what you've learned? Are you putting into practice what you've learned? We see that the peace of God comes through reflecting on the nearness of God. And the peace of God comes through praying to God. And the peace of God comes through fixing our thoughts on the way of God. And finally, the peace of God comes through obeying God. Obedience matters. The peace of God comes through obeying God. So Paul writes to this church who he loves deeply. And he writes to them and he says, what I've taught you, what you've seen in me, put in practice. Do these things. Look back with me, Philippians 4, 9. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, even by my example, practice these things. Do and keep doing these things. He's telling us what Pastor Rhett said in his video on Friday. I hope you saw. He's given these Bible reading tip videos on Facebook, some of the good stuff on Facebook. He's given those videos there. On Friday, Rhett talked about what James says, to be not just hearers, but doers of the word. And that's what Paul is telling us here. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Do these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So here's what he's saying. Don't expect God to bless you with peace when you're not following his path. Don't expect the peace of God when you're not following the path of God. Don't expect to know the peace that comes from God when you're not willing to follow the path that God prescribes. The way to peace is the way of obedience, is following him and what he tells us in his word. And we've seen what is promised, the peace of God. We see how we get it following this path that God has laid out for us. And let me close with this. Just a very brief encouragement. All of this that we're to do, this is possible for us who are in Christ. You can do this if you're in Christ. This is possible for you. See, this peace has been purchased for you. It's a gift that was paid for by the blood of Christ. It has been purchased for you. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 tells us of Jesus. He was pierced. It looks ahead to Christ. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us what? It brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. This peace is made available for you through Christ. And it's given to us through the Spirit of Christ who dwells in you. The fruit of the Spirit is peace, Galatians 5:22 says. In John 14, Christian, in John 14, Jesus promised you the Holy Spirit, who would be sent in his name, who would teach us all things, who would bring his word to our minds. And then Jesus said this, my peace I give you. My peace I give to you. The Holy Spirit that's given to you is the Spirit of peace. And he will give you all that you need to help you, strengthen you, enable you to follow this path of God that's laid out for us in Philippians chapter 4. So friends who are in the room with us today, friends who are with us online, if you donston't know Christ, this can be yours too. This peace is available to you as a gift. We receive it through faith in Christ, through trusting in him and then following him in his ways. If you have questions about that, again, online or here in the room, we would love to speak with you after the service is over today. We'd love to connect with you and tell you how you can know this peace that comes only through Christ. Would you bow and let's pray together? Father, these six things you have told us to do, and God, now we together as your people, we ask for your grace, your strength to help us do them. God, you've commanded us to rejoice, and so God, by your Spirit, we pray that you would help us to be those who are constantly rejoicing no matter the circumstances. We would be rejoicing in you, Jesus. God, you've commanded us to let our reasonableness, our gentleness, our gentle spirit be made known to everyone. So God, give us the peace inwardly, that we might show this gentle spirit outwardly by your Spirit. Lord, do this in us. God, you've commanded us to not be anxious, but instead to pray about everything. So God, help us to desire, turn our hearts to desire prayer and spending time with you in that way to bring all of our needs before you, to pray about everything. Help us in that. God, you've commanded us to think about the things that you honor and to put into practice the things that you've instructed us. And so God, we ask for your help. Lord, give us the strength that we need. Turn our thoughts off of worthless things, as you say in Psalm 119. And Lord, give us life in your word. May we think about it. May we practice it. Enable us, strengthen us to do these things. Lord, we pray this for your glory to be made known through us. In Christ's name, amen. Before we're dismissed, let me give you three brief announcements. First, I want to say thanks for being here today. And for those of you in the middle, I'll say thank you for sitting up front. In the first service, everybody was way back in the back, and you guys are up front. So I appreciate that. Thank you guys so much for that. But we do, seriously, we want to let you know, For our men, our deacon forms are available in the Welcome Center. If you're interested in serving as a deacon this year, if you are returning as a deacon, there's a form that's available for you. If you would be a new deacon, there's also a form there for you as well. Pick one of those up. Look that over. Let me know, or David Vaughn. You can let David Vaughn know if you have any questions at all. But that will be coming up very, very soon. So those are available in the Welcome Center. Next Sunday, as Pastor Matt said at the beginning of the service, we're going to begin having just two services. You guys don't have to do anything different. You're in the 10 a.m. service. We're going to keep that. So we'll have the 8 a.m. service and the 10 a.m. service. We do want to ask you, keep registering online. You can do that. Easiest way is through the Realm app on your smartphone. Just open up the Realm app, click on the Events tab at the bottom, and then you'll find the event for next Sunday worship. You can register right there. If you need any help, or you can register by calling Whitney in our church office. That registration will be available tomorrow beginning at 12 o'clock. And then finally, as you leave today, don't forget, if you came prepared to give, you can give at the boxes at each exit as you head out, or you can always give online as well, mountaincreekbc.org/give. Would you stand and let's hear God's benediction as we're dismissed. From Philippians, from Philippians chapter 4, "Now may the God of peace be with you, bringing you the peace of God that passes all understanding, guarding your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Amen and amen. You are dismissed.